Well, I want to welcome you wherever you might be joining us. If you're online or right here in our Bethel campus or in Powell, I just want to wish you a happy Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and we are beginning a brand new series called Impact Your World. We're going to be looking at impacting your world all month long, and today we are starting with Football Sunday. And when we think about impacting our world, I remember just being younger, and as I've worked with high school students and college students, the dreams that we have to change the world, to make a difference, to make an impact, we have big dreams. I also realize that as many of us get older, reality sets in, life sets in. We get into our careers, we have families, and it seems to be the normal run-of-the-mill days that we have. And we wonder, are we impacting our world? We're accountants and nurses and doctors and plumbers and police officers and lawyers and stay-at-home parents, and we're pastors, and sometimes we wonder, am I making a difference in the everyday? Am I making an impact? And that's what we want to focus on. Because in the reality, we've been called to make an impact. I'm amazed at these words, and these are going to be a key words we're going to look at as a key scripture. This entire series is John 14:12. And this is Jesus speaking. Amazing words. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Jesus is saying we're going to do the same things he has done, but not only the same things, we're going to do even greater works. Those three words, as we think about an impact, do you believe that? The kind of impact that we can have. And so this month, we're going to be looking at the kind of impact that we can have in our daily lives, at our work, at our school, in our home. We're going to look at the impact we have together as a church when we work together to make a difference in our local community. And we're going to talk about the global impact that we can have together in far-flung places like Lebanon and Honduras and other places around the world when we work together. What is the impact that we can have? So you may be wondering, why are we starting with Football Sunday? What does that have to do with Impact Your World? Well, what we've seen is that athletes have an incredible influence. And we were reminded of that tragically this week when last Sunday, Kobe Bryant's helicopter crashed, taking his life and his daughter's and seven others. Athletes, coaches, moms, dads, brothers and sisters. But we've seen Kobe's incredible influence as people are mourning all over the world. And they're pulling up his old videos of him, giving words of advice and things that he said. And I saw something about where he talked about his faith. And we see this incredible influence that athletes have. Well, today the spotlight isn't on the NBA. It's on the NFL. It's Super Bowl Sunday, Football Sunday in America. And all eyes are on Miami, Super Bowl 54, the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers going head-to-head. And so today, as we look at this platform of some of these amazing speakers, we see their athletes, we see their influence. I'm wearing a jersey representing the awesome Arizona Cardinals, who were 5-10-1 this year, in fourth place, last place in their division. But yet, this jersey, Larry Fitzgerald, number 11, he is an icon in Arizona and even around the country. And he has incredible influence in people's lives. Here I am, thousands of miles away from Arizona, wearing his jersey, his name on my back. And so today, when we think about the athletes, we're going to be hearing some of their stories from other players in the NFL. We're going to be hearing from players that are playing in the game this evening. And we get to hear how Christ has impacted their lives and the difference they are making in people around them. And I pray today that you would be encouraged, that you would hear from them how God is working in their lives through difficult circumstances, questions they have, but the faith that they have, that it would inspire you, and that you would be inspired not only to think about your own faith, but how you live that out and impact your world where you're at. So let's not take any more time. Let's get to Football Sunday as we begin the series and this month, Impact Your World.
Arrive, but you didn't come to this place alone. You will fight, but this war isn't yours to independently wage. Because this, my friends, this is shoulder to shoulder. You are family. You are brothers. You are warriors. And before you lies a victory that's more than worth your life of sacrificial preparation. A victory that can only be won by standing shoulder to shoulder.
Hey friends, welcome to Football Sunday 2020. I'm Brock Heward, and in a few hours, the largest single game sporting event of the year will be played in Miami. I love this day because it's so great for the players, the fans, and everyone in your church community. Since my own NFL playing days ended in 2004, I've been covering college and NFL games as an analyst ever since. And one thing I've always paid attention to over the years are the rule changes at the pro level, many of which keep players from getting hurt. And this year, the league implemented a number of player safety rules, including one, eliminating a shoulder-to-shoulder two-man double-team block. In layman's terms, no longer can two teammates on a kickoff stand shoulder-to-shoulder holding hands and double-team another player. And if a player or two does that in today's game, well, their team will be penalized. But those very same players will be rewarded today if they stand shoulder-to-shoulder. One's a penalty, the other's a reward. And make no mistake, these guys must stand shoulder-to-shoulder because that's their only path to victory. And we all get to see it unfold. So wherever you watch the game and whoever you're with, I hope you have a great and memorable experience. Welcome to Football Sunday 2020.
As an athlete, you know, you always look for the pinnacle of, you know, championships. And obviously in football, it's the Super Bowl.
It's surreal being in this moment, being here. I mean, it's what you work for all offseason and all year long, and especially with this group of guys and the coaches. They're a special group.
There's nothing higher really than this when it comes to football. And so to reach that level and to know that you're one of the last two teams in that game, it's really cool, man. When you really start to break it down for what it is, you can help but get excited. So, yeah, it's really cool.
It's a blessing. I mean, there's no other example that I can say that makes me happier than I get to go to the Super Bowl.
Grew up my whole life a football fan, watching the Super Bowl. You know, I was watching on TV, like, man, that'd be really cool to be there someday.
For professional athletes, that's always the goal. And to be on this team and to be able to actually achieve that goal and be here now, it's a great feeling.
Our first story highlights Prince Amukamara, a cornerback for the Chicago Bears. After playing at Nebraska, Prince was drafted 19th overall in 2011 by the New York Giants. Prince is a great guy whose life came together when he began to understand the reality of God's grace. This is his story.
My upbringing around faith and around religion, both of my parents really loved God and served God. But for some reason, one thing that I pulled from that was rules and obedience. And so I thought, okay, as long as I'm a good person, I'd be able to get into heaven. But it was working. Everyone thought, oh, Prince is the good kid. And that was my reputation. Prince was a good guy. And to be honest, I kind of liked it. And I took pride in it also. When I got into high school and I had friends around me, like, now they were my comparison, they were my standard. So as long as I'm not doing what they're doing, as long as I'm being better than them in my eyes, then I'm still in right standing with God. At this camp, 500 kids, it's co-ed, boys and girls, about 12 different sports. There's college coaches there, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm here to showcase my talent and hopefully get on the radar to get a football scholarship. Each kid had their own group. In the group, we were doing Bible studies, and we would break the huddle, and we would do prayer. And one of the phrases we were saying was, like, for his glory. And I'm thinking, like for whose glory? Like, who's his? I still was kind of on the fence, But they played it clipped with Christ with carrying the cross and people whipping him and spitting at him and wearing the crown of thorns and blood is on his face. And I'm thinking, like, wow, like, he did this for me. So it wasn't until I got into college, I met with the team chaplain, and he took me and a number of guys under his wings. We started to go through books, and he taught us the word. We studied the word, and we ended up spreading the word, sharing our testimony. High school stage, I was a believer. College is when I became a follower and when I started to walk and when I was able and learned how to give an account for what I believed in. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you more than he does right now, or to get God to love you less. He wants a relationship with you. When Jesus was at the cross, like, he knew that he was buying broken, prideful, selfish, sinful beings like us, and that should give us hope. The fact that a perfect God would want something so broken should tell us, like, how purposeful we are and how valuable we are.
Seems like we can all find ourselves somewhere in Prince's story. Some of us are trying to live good lives, hoping that the good deeds will outweigh the bad ones and that God will take notice. Some of us have claimed the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, but we've stalled there. And some of us are following Jesus. So wherever you find yourself, the players today aren't the only ones who need to stand shoulder to shoulder. The life God intends for us is discovered when we stand shoulder to shoulder with Jesus himself, because he really is all we'll ever need.
I play football, and this is a very performance-based relationship that I'm in with this team. And the gospel says that we get to walk into a non-performance-based relationship. And here's Jesus saying, look, I came down, I did all the work for you. All you gotta do is just receive it, abide in me. And even the days you slip up, I'm still here to catch you.
He's a great father. You know, I've got three little kids, and showing them, you know, what it means to follow Jesus and to be the man of the household that I'm supposed to be. He's left the playbook behind for us to follow, and all we have to do is just listen and enjoy the ride that he's gonna put us on, because he already knows the ending result.
I think the biggest thing for me with Christianity and who God is that it's based on his unconditional love and grace.
I'm discovering God to be faithful and to be a promise-keeping God. Galatians 6:9, he says, never grow weary of doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So many times the Christian life feels like you're just sowing good things. It's like, man, when am I gonna reap the harvest, right? In that time, you know, the devil's throwing all those bad thoughts in your head. He's saying, oh, God's not really good. God's not really fair. No, God is good. Even if my circumstances aren't good, God is still good.
I think life is all about relationships, and this relationship with Jesus, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. With Jesus, makes one of those things where no matter what I do, he's still gonna love me, and that grace, and it's always enough.
Nate Solder is a Pro Bowl tackle who was drafted 17th overall in the 2011 draft. He's earned two Super Bowl rings with the New England Patriots, and he's made a living at protecting quarterbacks like Tom Brady, Eli Manning, and others. Nate is married to Lexi, and they have two wonderful children. But when their first son, Hudson, was born, a chain of events was set in motion that would literally change their world. But that's not all. This is their story.
When we found out I was pregnant, he was at work, I think, and he wasn't home. I took a pregnancy test in the morning, and it was positive. I put it in a jewelry box that I just had, like, laying around the house, and, like, wrapped it up in something.
And I was like, I don't want to open this. I'm not into gifts. Like, I don't want to. And she's like, no, you want to open this one. And it was the first pregnancy test, and it was positive. And I was like, what do I do now? do remember having one freak out moment because we have a cat, and I was like, because I'm reading all these things about how cats can give diseases to pregnant women, all this stuff. So I'm like so nervous. So I'm in there vacuuming at 3 a.m, vacuuming the whole, the kitty litter over the floor and like just going nuts. And I was like, I read my Bible. I tried calling people, but it's 3 a.m. So I was like, I have no one to talk to. So she's like, Nate, why are you up at 3 a.m. vacuuming? I was like, I don't know. I'm so nervous.
We were giving Hudson baths, and remember Nate said at one point, like, this feels weird. He has like a weird sort of lump on his left side.
So we were friends with the pediatrician. Let's just text her. Let's text Rachel and see what she says.
So we go over house, and she's feeling his lump on his left side and feeling sort of the right side of his belly. And she's like, you know, I wouldn't really worry about it. We'll keep an eye on it. She said, I want him to have an ultrasound today. So I was like, okay. I remember like getting in the shower and getting ready to go. And I was just like started crying in the shower because you just know. I mean, a mother's intuition, you just know it's not good. He was diagnosed with bilateral kidney tumors, which is really what, that is the basis of what we know. His doctors have thrown around Wilms tumor, which is pretty common.
We were in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. It was just an onslaught of different medications, different types of options for how we could treat it. There was probably 10 different doctors who would talk to us about it.
His kidneys were, they said, were the size of pears at a three-month-old when they're supposed to be the size of peanuts.
So he was on chemotherapy for a full year. His kidneys shrunk tremendously. They looked like normal kidneys, but they always still had some spots in them. We were off for a year, and one of the spots started to grow again. So they thought the best course of action was to start chemotherapy again. They shrunk, and if they didn't shrink, they would not grow anymore. After a year of that, he still has tumors in his kidneys, but they're small, and they haven't grown very much. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Who knows what we're going to do with that, and surgery might be down the line, or more treatment, or who knows. So, yeah, we take it one day at a time. We were at this sort of time in our lives where we felt like Hudson's situation was sort of stable, and we started looking outward in ways that we could help or make an impact. I always say if Hudson was born in Uganda or Guatemala or Thailand or whatever with his condition, with his kidneys, he wouldn't make it.
We were able to find Compassion International. They introduced us to kind of some of the programs they did, some of the kids, and I think both Lexi and I were thinking, we're going to do something big. They get a good meal, they get evaluated, they get health records, and then they get Bible lessons. So they learn scripture and kind of they act it out in the way that they treat each other. And then one of the biggest things is, too, they have access to school. So they're all their schools paid for, and they have access to medical care. So they can go to any hospital and they get all the medical care covered, too.
You know, we have our NFL life and we have our compassion commitments, and then we have our kids and our home life, and all are very different and unique. And I think that middle section for us is Jesus. And I think that's really what connects it all.
God's purposes are being done and it's happening. And somehow he's made us a part of his plan, and it's led us down this path that we could have never fathomed. I never thought that I would play as long as I have in the NFL. I never could have imagined it as a kid. I certainly never wished that my son had cancer. But then somehow we're sitting in Uganda and the people are cheering because we were able to create these centers. And so God's up to something amazing, and it far exceeds anything I've ever done in football. It far exceeds anything I could do.
The Solder family is in the middle of it again. The fear, the uncertainty,
the prayers of desperation, and the sleepless nights of wondering. They're in a vulnerable place right now, and they need our prayers. But I also know the soldiers well enough to know they won't give up. They'll continue telling their story and allowing it to push them into the world with a global vision of rescue in the name of Jesus. And they'll do it by standing shoulder to shoulder with an amazing organization they mentioned called Compassion International. We traveled to Guatemala with the soldiers last summer, and we learned there are 400 million children around the world who live in abject poverty. That's less than $1.90 a day. We've also learned that when we follow Jesus, we follow him into a world that needs saving and rescue. So what if you took your story and your resources, those two things, and you partnered together with a Christ-centered ministry that's saving lives around the world? There's no doubt your church already has some great opportunities for you, or you can check out Compassion International online. There's a victory waiting to happen here, but it won't happen unless we're willing to stand shoulder to shoulder.
You know, with my brother having passed away and going to heaven, I think it's really, you know, put me and not only me, but my family to a whole nother level of faith and believing. Dove into the Bible more than I ever have just throughout this process, because it's really the only place that I can find some peace. And really just knowing and reading about heaven, and because that's I know that's where my brother is, and just knowing without a doubt in my mind that I will see him someday, and that really, really is the only thing that really kind of brings me some peace.
I'm not going to the Father because every single time it's like, man, I need this, I want this. Like, I spend more time thanking in prayer now because I'm just like, man, like, I actually just get to be with you. And I know it doesn't even end on this side of eternity. I know that this gets to be forever.
The first 8 years of my career was a starter pretty much the whole time. And then last season I got benched. This year I got fired, rehired, fired again, and spent the first 5 weeks of this season on my couch watching football unemployed. Got a phone call from my agents who, you know, the Chiefs contacted my agents, and he said, hey, Chiefs want you, let's go. Week 16, got a shot to start, played well week 17, and I'm still playing, you know, started and played both playoff games, and I'm gonna start in the Super Bowl. It's really God's showing off. It's actually amazing.
Since he was picked in the first round of the 2004 NFL draft, Benjamin Watson has had a long career in the NFL. And while Benjamin and his wife Kirsten have experienced a lot of success, they've also experienced their share of challenges. Challenges filled with disappointment, hard questions, and loss. This is their story.
If we lose, possibly my last game. If we win, which hopefully we do, there'll be another game after that, which will be in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And on that Monday or Tuesday, I started getting pain in my stomach. The next day, I ended up going to the hospital, got a couple CAT scans, and gave me some medicine, and sent me home. Another doctor looked at my CAT scan and said, I think Benjamin has acute appendicitis. You need to get him to the hospital right now. A dear friend named David came over to the hospital, prayed for me. My family was there. And I woke up, that was the first night I slept the whole week. They released me from the hospital. I go back to the facility and they tell me that, well, you weren't here the first 2 days of practice, Wednesday and Thursday, so the plan is for you not to play. Crushed. Because in my head, I had this awesome story of, I had appendicitis, God healed me. I came back in the NFC Championship, caught the winning touchdown. You know, it's going to be a Christian sensation. That's how my mind was rolling. Late April, early May, started thinking about, you know, maybe maybe I want to play again. New England reached out after we made them aware that I wanted to play, and it seemed substantial. Like, it might really be an opportunity to play.
So when Benjamin decided to continue to play, then everything kind of shifts.
Moved the family across the country again.
And so the kids are there, the guys are moving the boxes out. It's the memory of walking through the house when there's nothing in there with all the kids.
Go to practice that week. I'm not activated that first week. Then the next week, things are kind of weird. And I was released. I was cut. I wasn't good enough.
We had 5 kids. And the question we always get is, are you done? And I just didn't have the yes. And then one night, I remember him saying, you know, let's go for number 6. Let's try. And so I felt like we had waited, we had been patient, and then we had both heard yes from the Lord. And so to go and then get pregnant immediately, I was like, we were supposed to have 6. And so the last thing that ever crossed my mind is that we wouldn't have the baby. When it didn't work out, and we found out that we had lost the baby, I remember thinking, God, I thought I was doing what you said. You know, 5 kids is a lot. We said yes to 6. We must have been wrong, because surely God wouldn't allow that. And so we got pregnant again. And I said, well, maybe God really does want us to have this 6th baby. We were excited, we told the kids, and then something went wrong again. The baby's not growing, and there's no heartbeat. I'm just trying to be obedient, and I don't understand. And so this time was really rough, and we try again in July, and then I get pregnant. I'm looking at the lady giving the ultrasound, and she makes this weird face. And I say, is everything okay? She's like, yeah, I see something. And so I say, well, is it a baby? Do you see a baby? And she goes, I see 2 babies. I look over at Benjamin, and I see him walking towards the TV screen with his mouth open. And then I look at the screen and I see 2 babies. And I say, you didn't tell me you had twins in your family. Because I don't. I was like, I don't have any twins in my family. How do we have twins?
Together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what is that good? That good is not necessarily what I think good is. It's always good, but it might not always be pleasant.
The enemy says, if God loved you, wouldn't that be easy? And somewhere along the line, I've bought in that lie. Then I have to go back to truth, and I look in the Bible, and I don't see that anywhere.
His promises are that you are an overcomer, that I love you, that I'll never leave you or forsake you. His promises are that I will always provide for your needs according to riches and glory. His promises are that I loved you so much that I sent my own son to die for you. His promises are that I've already written the book, so I know what's happening when you don't. His promises are eternal life. His promises are that I'll give you beauty for ashes.
Many of you are in a season right now that doesn't feel pleasant at all. Your job, your close relationships, your health, or your finances are causing pain and disappointment. Some of you feel like you've done everything you're supposed to do, but the happy ending you're hoping for feels a million miles away. So what does standing shoulder to shoulder look like for you? Maybe God's invitation for you today is simply telling one person how hard this really is. Or maybe God's inviting you to stand shoulder to shoulder with believers throughout the ages, followers of Jesus who have stubbornly and faithfully chosen to believe in God's good promises, even while they live in their own uncertainty. Whatever the case, God is always offering us something far greater than the answers we seek. He's offering us His presence, a presence that's most often seen through others who have walked or who are currently walking the same journey. At times in our lives, we all ask the question, how can God be good if? And then we fill in the blank with something bad that we don't understand. But the larger question is this, how can God be good if He allowed His Son to be put to death on a cross? That doesn't look or feel good at all. But as impossible as it might seem, the answer isn't a mystery. It's because He loves us, because He loves you. The cross of Jesus is actually the ultimate display of God's goodness. God not only loves you, but He created you to personally experience that love in a relationship with Him. The problem is we spend our lives ignoring God like He doesn't exist. We search for fulfillment in other people and things, but not with God. And throughout the Bible, this is called sin. We've all sinned, and we're born into it. The result of sin is that we're not in relationship with God, and that makes us eternally separated from Him. And that's a problem. But the good news, the great news, is this. Because of God's great love for us, He became a human being in Jesus Christ, and He gave His life for us, and He paid the penalty that we deserve. He died that day, but He rose to life again. So God's already done everything to show us how much He loves us, but we need to respond. To begin, you acknowledge the love of God in Christ. You admit that your sin is in desperate need of forgiveness, and you trust in Christ's death for complete and total cleansing of it. So, it's up to you now. If your heart is saying yes, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer that will put words to what you're feeling. Simply pray this prayer with me right now. Dear God, thank you for loving me and wanting the best for me. I've lived my life for myself. I've ignored you, and I've done things my own way. For this, I'm truly sorry. Jesus, I believe that you are God and that you've forgiven all my sins by dying on the cross in my place. I trust in your goodness and I ask you to be leader of my life. You are the God who loves me, the Savior who died for me, and the Spirit who leads me. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, the Bible says there's a celebration going on in heaven right now, and they're celebrating because you just came home. You know, the players in today's game will always come back to today because it's a defining moment for them. But even playing in the Super Bowl is nothing like what you just did. This is your most defining moment ever because your heart just came alive in Christ. So welcome home. Welcome to the family of God. Shoulder to shoulder, because we just can't do this alone, and we were never meant to anyway. Maybe you're standing shoulder to shoulder today with Prince. You just made a decision to follow Jesus, and all of heaven is celebrating. Get with someone and start walking this journey together. Maybe you're standing shoulder to shoulder with Nate and Lexi. You feel the need to take part in a rescue mission for the sake of children in developing countries. There is so much joy in getting involved. Or maybe you're standing shoulder to shoulder with the Watsons. If you're in a season of challenge and disappointment, lean into the promises of God and know that you are not alone. So on behalf of Prince, Nate and Lexi, Benjamin and Kirsten, and all the people who make Football Sunday possible every year, it's been an enormous blessing and my great pleasure to be with you today. Have a great day and enjoy the game.